How you gonna know what to do if you don't know what time it is? What time it is? What time it is?
Listen up. Listen up. Listen up.
How you gonna know what to do if you don't know what time it is?
Listen up. Listen up. Listen up.
Knowledge is your birthright. Every human being should be gifted with the right to know self and the environment and the universe into which God gave us birth and life. For us to come out of our mother's wombs and be 20 years old, 30 years old, not able to read. Victims now of where we place our ears. Who do you listen to?
Listen up. Listen up.
How you gonna know what to do if you don't know what time it is?
Listen up. Listen up. Listen up.
Listen up here on your source for cool jazz and more, WEAA 88.9 FM and WEAA.org, the voice of the community and, of course, the next generation. I'm your host, Faraji Muhammad. Look, Young Nation, we got a fantastic show for you tonight. We're going to kick it off talking to Baltimore's first national chess champion, Kyrie Myrick. He's in the building with us tonight to talk about his historic victory. Perfect victory. We're going to get into a conversation about how he feels about everything happening with him and what he thinks of the significance of Baltimore, the impact it will make. And then later, we check in with our homegirl, Mikel Ramos, our sports contributor. She's going to give us the lowdown on this week's edition of Rolling with Ramos, Father's Day style. We'll have that conversation. And then we check in for Black Music Month. We talk to Abu the Flute Maker. 40 years in the music business, and he's still doing his things with just household instruments. We'll have that conversation, and I got something for you for real special for the official What's Good in the Hood Street Report. We're going to talk about the men of Ramadan. So all of that on tonight's edition of Listen Up, here on your source for cool jazz and more, WEAA 88.9 FM and WEAA.org, the voice of the community, and of course, Young Nation, you. Let's go. Welcome to Listen Up here on your source for cool jazz and more, WEAA 88.9 FM at WEAA.org, the voice of the community and, of course, the next generation. I'm your host, Faraji Muhammad. We're going to kick it off starting with our first national chess champion in his division. I'm so, so happy to have our little brother with us, 12 years old, doing it real big, brother Kyrie Myrick. Peace, Kyrie. How you doing, brother?
I'm doing good.
Life is a little different for you right now, right?
Yeah, it's different from what I'm used to.
Yeah, yeah, because, you know, Kyrie, when I first came across your story, man, of course, you know, I looked at the picture and instantly I said, this brother probably did not expect to get this much attention. But you're really circling the city right now. You probably, how many times have you gone around the world at this point? Once, twice?
for nationals, this has been my second nationals.
Second nationals.
For chess.
Right. All right, so let's talk a little bit about this. Now, big thing is chess playing. How did you get started with that?
Well, I first started playing chess when I was at my elementary school, and that was in first grade.
elementary and first grade.
Yes.
So who taught you?
My coach there.
Okay.
Yeah. His name was Mr. Rick.
Mr. You got to give a shout out to Mr. Rick. Yes. First coach?
Yes.
First coach. That's what I'm talking about. All right. So now I'm thinking chess is pretty complicated, right? I mean,
yes,
I'm not a chess player, but it looks like it's a thinking man's game. Well, tell me, what's the part of chess that really excites you or that drives you?
I like the strategy of it in that not many people can be good at it unless you have a lot of practice.
Yeah, yeah.
And that, yeah, it just takes a while to get good at it, and you need a lot of strategy. You need to know the tactics and the tricks to get good at it.
So how much time do you actually spend playing chess?
I try to spend about 2 hours, and that was during school days, just playing on chess.com, which is a good app to get better at chess because it has tactics, and you could play games with people around the world.
Wait a minute, hold up, Kyrie. You telling me you learned how to master chess by using an app called chess.com?
Yes, that's how I practice.
That's how you practice?
Yes.
All right, this is what makes a show of all of Young Nation. You hear that now. You hear that. All right, so you started getting into it. So when did you get to that place where you knew that this was something you wanted to kind of pursue, go further in?
I think it was around third grade, because that was when I first started actually doing standard tournaments and getting good at it.
Yeah.
And then I just started going for years and years throughout the school. And
yeah.
We just started winning, and it just got more and more fun the farther I got into it.
Because you're winning.
Yes.
You Steph Curry, like, you know what I mean, going through the whole situation because you're winning. Of course it's going to get fun. There's nothing fun about losing, Kyrie. Nothing fun about losing. All right, so now you're at this. Now, talk to us about how this whole thing is set up. You're a national chess champion, but this is in your division, right?
Yes.
What division is that?
The division I was in was under 1,000 K-8.
Okay. So the division, okay, that division. Now, how many people did you have to play within that division?
I played, I think, like 249 people in my division that I had to play, that were in my division, but
right.
I only played 7 of them.
Oh, okay. But you had 249 people.
Yes.
And you had it whittled down to 7.
Yes.
And were these folks from around the country?
Yeah, they were from 28 different states.
28 different states. So you smashed 7 cats from 28 different states. Is that what you're telling me, brother?
Yeah.
Okay, all right. So when you got to that final round, like what was going through your mind when you were making that move and you were thinking about this and you realized, I'm about to beat this dude? Well, first, I'm not going to assume. Were you playing a girl or a boy?
It was a boy.
It was a boy.
My last game.
Your last game. All right. Where was he from?
I don't know.
You don't know. You don't remember. You just know that he was just a face. He was just like, I'm gonna obliterate this dude, and then I'm gonna just get on with it. No, but what school? You don't remember what school he was from? Anything?
No, I don't usually ask them because in the beginning of the game we just sit, wait, then we shake hands and start the game. There's no talking.
No small talk.
No, you're not allowed to talk.
Oh, okay. Not allowed to talk. You just go in there and do to handle your business.
Yes.
All right. How long did that game last?
It lasted around 2 hours, I think. A little less than 2 hours.
A little less than 2 hours?
Yes.
Kyrie, that's like a movie, bro.
Some games can go up to 4 hours because you have 4 hours at total to play your whole game.
Oh, okay. Okay, and you kept your concentration, you kept your focus for a little less than 2 hours.
Yes.
When you made that final move, did you know your first thing? Did you kind of foresee you winning the game at a certain point?
No, because towards the middle of the game, I was down, and then I just didn't give up, and I kept trying and pushing, and I just eventually got up, and he resigned.
He resigned?
Yes.
You beat him so bad, he had to just give it all up. Your mom's just tripping off of me right now, but the fact is, and that's serious. All right, so now you become this national chess champion in your division. What's the next step for you?
The next step is to see how I do at nationals next year.
Okay.
Which is going to be at Atlanta, Georgia. But
right.
There's plenty of tournaments before there to help get me straight, get my rating good, and to get prepared.
Now, from what I might understand, you're about to go into the eighth grade. You're going to be going to eighth grade during the fall.
Yes.
Okay. So then that means that then at some point you're going to enter high school.
Yes.
You thinking about playing on that level as well?
Yes. I've been thinking about Poly because, you know, it's, like, right down the street from my school. And, like, Roland Park kind of develops you to go to Poly.
Right.
And Poly's also, like, a good academic school, and they're also known for their chess team. So that's been a school that I've been thinking about for chess.
Okay. So Poly know that you're coming.
I don't know.
Now they do. Now they do. What did you have you learn from this journey, Kyrie? Because this is not a normal black boy's journey from Baltimore. What have you learned, and what are some of the things that you've gained from this process?
I've learned to stay humble and don't underestimate your opponents. Don't walk in thinking that you're going to beat everyone, because that's not the attitude you need to have to win. You need to just be ready and stay focused and just believe that you can lose to any person in the room.
Wow. That's a very, very powerful lesson there, brother. I mean, because seeing you, you're a very humble brother. You don't seem like, you know, you kind of go off at the mouth. You're very, you're what they call a silent assassin. You're a quiet killer. Of course, on the chessboard. So we're gonna make sure that you know this is certainly your first time being on WEAA, and so we're very, very happy, brother, that you took time out your busy Hollywood lifestyle. You know, I know you in the papers and all of those things, and there was some misinformation that was put out there about your win and everything. Is there anything that you want to speak to related to that?
Wait, as in what?
As in some of the articles that came out from Deadspin. I know that there was some issues, some controversy around some of those things.
Depend off of that article, I didn't really think much about it.
Yeah.
It's not something that I really take time out of my day to think about.
Yeah.
It's just my mom told me about it and was like, oh,
that's
okay.
What it is.
Okay.
Yeah, you keep your blinders on to the haters.
Yeah, I mean, I have a trophy that specifically explains everything.
Jeez, did you hear that, man? You know what I'm saying? He like the KD or KD right now. He was like, I just got a trophy. You could just did all that. Debate that. All right, that's what's up right there, Kyrie. So we'll definitely keep note of your progress, brother. But congratulations, man.
Thank you.
We are so proud of you, brother. And I'm really happy. And, you know, I know that you inspired a lot of other brothers and sisters to get into chess. You know what I'm saying? Anybody want to shout out tonight? Nobody you want to shout out?
I'd shout out.
Anybody?
I'd shout out my brother.
Your brother?
Yeah, my
you got
younger
grandma,
brother.
Grandma, uncles, anybody?
Yeah, I have a grandma.
I got a grandma.
Yeah, the grandma. her name's Nikiba, and, you know, she's been a good role model in my life, just helping me out through everything.
Any brothers that, you know, it's Father's Day weekend, and this is very inspiring to hear from a young brother. Any males that you want to shout out for Father's Day weekend?
Yeah, my dad, he's been taking me to all my things.
That's what I'm talking about.
I taught him chess, and, you know, he tries to do things.
Come on, man. Chess. You taught your dad chess?
Yes.
All right, you probably going to get another student. Hey, look, real quick, I saw something online real quick, Kyrie. They were trying to start a petition to have, I see you rocking Under Armour. They were like, Nike or Under Armour should give you some type of scholarship or something. I saw that. Did you see that?
No.
You didn't see that?
No.
Okay, I'm just throwing it out there. Kyrie, thank you so much, brother, for being on Listen Up and on WEAA tonight. Again, we congratulate you, brother, for your phenomenal success there. And stay grounded and stay humble. But most importantly, brother, teach others, man. I hope you really teach, you know, get a chance to teach some of the other brothers and sisters about chess. Is that your plan?
Yes.
All right, brother. Appreciate it. All right, family. Kyrie Myrick checking in tonight. Up next, we got Rolling with Ramo. Stay tuned. A whole lot coming on the show. Make sure you stay tuned. It's Listen Up here on your source for cool jazz and more. WEAA 88.9 and 88.9.org. WEAA.org. We'll be right back. Thank you, Mom. We'll be right back.
is a rock. It's explaining how heavy the young lady is.
I'm ready. Let's go.
And when you hear that music, you should already know what time it is. Thank you for tuning in to Listen Up with Faraji Muhammad. You're on your voice of cool jazz and more, WEAA 88.9 FM. Listen Up with Faraji Muhammad, but that voice means that it's time for your favorite sports segment, Rolling with Ramos. Don't worry, the voice you do not hear is not Faraji's voice. I didn't kidnap him or anything. I have him right here next to me, actually, and it's a very beautiful thing. You know, Faraji?
Yeah.
Because of Listen Up with Faraji Muhammad, the segment Rolling with Ramos was propelled into a show. I kind of sort of have to thank you.
Oh, for real? Well, you know, it's a small thing to a giant. So I'm saying you're the giant, not me. So thank you.
What a line. This is
Father's Day weekend.
Yes.
This is the week after the NBA Finals. And I know you got a lot of, but so let's start it off talking a little bit about what you saw. And then we got a couple of minutes, and then, you know, we'll bring your dad on. Because I think Pops Ramos is supposed to be checking in, right?
Yes, I had a very special guest that you just told the world that I was holding back.
I'm sorry.
What
I'm
a
excited.
Secret. But yes, people, Ramos with Ramos meets each other. Ramos with Ramos meets tonight.
Okay.
You know, I knew I made it and I can't wait to tell him this, because he does not know this. I knew I made it as an analyst when he would say, okay, Mikel, okay, go leave me alone. I don't want to talk about it anymore. I was like, I've made it.
You made it.
I've climbed the top of the rocky stairs. He doesn't want to argue with me anymore. I've reached the promised land.
Yes, absolutely. All right, so let's real quick. I know we got to take a quick break in a few moments. Your analysis, NBA Finals 2017.
I had Golden State in 7, surprised me in 6, so they did it in 5.
KD, deserving of MVP?
I mean, I know there's this big conglomerate about him going to a super team, but I mean, to be honest, he went to the most selfless team in the NBA. He went to the right choice. He went to the only place that he would be able to not only touch the ring repeatedly, but try to grab it more and more. I just think that Golden State won 73 wins last year. Yes,
right.
they were going for history, fighting for history. But at the end of the day, he was the defining factor in what was not able to be last year. He became the best player on a team that already had enough, supposedly was supposed to have enough, and obviously they didn't have enough. So if Golden State doesn't, with Steph Curry, Klay Thompson, Draymond Green, if they didn't have enough with all of them and they still needed someone, that still doesn't mean that what he did was so much in vain. They still needed someone to propel them to the next level.
Absolutely.
Now, I mean, say what you want to say about him joining forces with a team that just beat him, but if you have anything where else he was supposed to go, I know, I mean, these big blockbuster teams, please tell me where else he was supposed to go.
Look, you know what? We got to take a quick break. When we come back, more about the NBA Finals, more with our sports contributor and analyst, Mikel Ramos, and more for this Father's Day edition of Rolling with Ramos. She has a very, very special guest. She has a very special guest. So stay tuned. A whole lot more on the other side. It's Listen Up here on your source for cool jazz and more, WEAA 88.9 FM and WEAA.org. The voice of the community and, of course, the next generation. We'll be right back.
The metaphoric phrase, light as a rock, it's explaining how heavy the young lady is.
I'm ready. Let's go.
Peace and welcome back to Listen Up here on your source for cool jazz and more, WEAA 88.9 FM and WEAA.org, the voice of the community and, of course, the next generation. I'm Faraji Muhammad. We're in the midst of Rolling with Ramos with our sports contributor, Mikel Ramos. Mikel, talk to us. So we were talking a little bit about the finals. You were making your analysis about KD and whatnot. But does this move, and you know, here's the thing, Mikel. People act as if what KD did was so out of the box, as if the NBA's premier superstar, LeBron James, just didn't do the same thing.
Interesting thing enough, I just came back from L.A., and I had a chance to go to Fox Sports 1 and get a tour and meet everybody there. Shout out to Rob Parker, who's been an amazing mentor to me. And they kind of sort of, the vibe going around there was, and was one of the things he mentioned was that the super teams that LeBron created, at the end of the day, it ended up being part of his demise in his finals. That super team beat him.
Right.
And it's funny because he can't whine and complain because he gave the blueprint to what this was supposed to be or what these manufacturings of your own team or this or that. He kind of sort of gave the blueprint of it. And ironically enough, you know, everybody's talking about Kevin Durant and what he hasn't done, but after a while he faced so much scrutiny, I guess he dealt with it in his own way. He does not care what anyone thinks anymore.
Well, I mean, it's like my brother Lil Kyrie said. I mean, when you got the trophy, it's very clear and explicit as to really like which side of the coin of history you're going to be on, either you're going to win or not. I don't necessarily get mad at KD just because he moved to a team. What I'm wondering, though, is this is going to set a precedent. I mean, we see a lot of big stars going to kind of teams with other big stars. Is this going to be a precedent now that say, hey, other teams, you know, you have a Russell Westbrook, you have a Chris Paul, you have all of these other superstars of the NBA. And are they going to start looking at, hey, let me kind of put myself in a certain position? Because you're right. One of the things that Kevin Durant showed was that he was the defining factor in being able to play LeBron in terms of size, skill, speed, and agility.
You know, they're saying the only reason that LeBron kind of sort of – this is what I don't get. LeBron averaged a triple-double. So he was not shabby in these finals at all. But to a degree, everyone's saying when LeBron loses, he doesn't have any help. Which, I mean, how you don't have any help with Kyrie Irving and Kevin Love?
Right.
My whole thing is this whole thing about the league and its competitiveness at this point in time. The league, I mean, at this point, I think it's become a little bit stalled, because if this is what we're looking for in the next couple of years,
yeah,
Cleveland and Golden State, or Golden State and whoever,
right,
for the next 2-3 years coming, I mean, it's enough to market, but it's enough to get boring with. And to be honest, this was supposed to be the big enchilada. This finals. I mean, for me, I don't know if anybody else watched the playoffs. Besides the Wizards-Boston series, it was a little slummy.
Yeah.
There was nothing really exciting about...
Especially that first half level of game 5.
Yes, it was nothing very exciting about the finals. So, I mean, about the playoffs. So now that when the finals came on, it's like, okay, you got LeBron. You got Kevin Durant. You got... With that
the
dark...
narrative.
That dark... the inner voice.
The narrative at this
Steph
point.
Steph Curry redeems himself.
All right, but let's talk...
Draymond Green not only winning in game 5, but the game that he missed last year because he was suspended, and that was a game that supposed to be turning it around,
yeah,
because their emotional leader was gone.
All right, so what about... Let's talk dollars and cents at this point. What about the... What about the money factor that's attached to this? You got a major, major team, and there's a lot of money. There's a lot of money that's going to be pouring into Golden State. At this point, what you know, I've heard, not that maybe this is a rumor, but I've heard that, hey, if there's a boost in contract, that some teams, I think it was Steph Curry that said that he'd be willing to kind of
So now you're gonna go because now everybody's.
No, I mean, I've heard that you know, it's like if your team is winning, if you're with a winning team, winning squad, and you're the superstar of the squad, right?
Yes.
Then you know, like, what is it to say, hey, you know what? I don't need to take as much this time, because look, if it's for the keeping the squad together, and for us to get a be another contender.
But I mean, we've seen it before. We saw it with Kevin Garnett to a degree. We've seen it with a lot of these big name stars. I mean, look at what Dwayne Wade passed a little bit on, so to allow LeBron and Chris Bosh and all of them to come in. I mean, we saw what happened in Boston. So it's not uncanny. I mean, like I said, the most selfless team in Golden is Golden, the Golden State Warriors. And I was just in LA. All you LAers out there, all you Laker fans, you West Coasters, and I'm all about Laker Nation. Guess what? But the interesting thing about it is I started seeing Golden State shirts and hats. You cannot do that. Even Snoop was at the game chopping it up with E-40. Wait a minute. Time out. Tell me where to go. You going to the Bay now? But you was all Laker Nation. I mean, Kobe kind of sort of leading change.
It's still California.
But it's the Bay and it's Los Angeles, California. Two different entities. Oak Town. You can now everybody is about the Bay now. It's still in California. Okay, so if the Ravens win the Super Bowl, and I'm a diehard Redskins fan, as y'all know, so if the Ravens win the Super Bowl,
that's two different.
It's two different. All right, things.
They're two different worlds. You know what I mean? The district. Y'all know how y'all run in the district. Y'all act like y'all a state.
I mean, yeah, and the DMV in Baltimore is not part of the DMV.
You know, and then y'all say, and here's the thing. When y'all say DMV, y'all don't include Baltimore.
Because it's two different, you know, and Dre, no, our engineer, we've had this argument before. Because it really is two separate entities.
Baltimore was in Maryland.
Yes, it is, but it's no longer, but it's not part of the DMV.
How is it not part of the DMV?
Because when you think of Maryland in terms of the DMV, you think of PG County, Montgomery County.
You think Northern, of counties.
Northern Virginia. You don't think of Baltimore. Baltimore is a city in Maryland. You say. Right. But y'all want to be so part of the DMV.
Whatever.
It's okay.
So now we're going into the off season, of course, for basketball and all of those things.
The dog days.
And now folks are looking and looking at football, because now that's where we are. We're about to get into football season.
You're not that far off yet. You know this 3-on-3 tournament. Chauncey Billups and, you know, Allen Iverson and this whole thing with Ice Cube. It keeps basketball around a little bit more. All know Allen Iverson still ball. We waiting to see him cross somebody over with a Jadakiss record behind him. So, remember that commercial?
Yeah.
So, we're waiting on that. He actually thanked Jadakiss in his Hall of Fame speech.
Oh, that's what's
any professional athlete, you know, thanked a musician?
Right. So, but what's been the latest with you? I know you've been keeping up on a draft.
The biggest draft. I mean, we got Markelle Fultz.
Right.
Some sources say he's going to go to Boston. But we have this big one. We still talking about Lonzo Ball and whether he's going to go number one. Sources say in Laker Nation that they're not too sold on him. But some would say that he wants him to be in Laker Nation.
All right. Well, as we talk about a father-son relationship, you actually got a Lonzo Ball in your family, right?
I don't know. My dad wasn't he's on down the road Joe Jackson kind of. He wasn't that kind of guy, because that's what LeVar reminds me of. My dad's kind of sort of laid back. He's cool.
We're talking about the one, the only Pops Ramos is on the line right now. Peace, Pops. How are you, son? How are you? First and foremost, Pops, happy Father's Day. Happy Father's Day to all of the Pops out there.
Thank you.
Yes, sir. Pops, we got a couple of moments left, but I know your daughter here. We've been chopping it up, talking sports as always.
Yeah, that's what she does. That's what she do.
I told him, Dad. I said he never heard me say this to him before, but you were the first person that let me know I made it as an analyst when you would finally say, "Okay, Mikel, okay, I don't want to talk about it no more."
That's right. That's famous Ramos right there.
So we got to get to the bottom of things. The last time you were on Rolling with Ramos during the and we're rolling with Ramos, and this was the finals. It's nothing like departing from money. You lost $10 because you went for Golden State. Did you get that back this year, Dad? I mean, and can I get half?
No, you can't do that.
Did you bet again?
You gotta look at certain things. I mean, they wasn't getting no calls. I mean, none.
Who, Golden State or Cleveland? I asked you, did you get your $10 back? Did you get your $10 back?
No calls. I mean, they was getting run down like 40 going north. And it was like a roller coaster out there. I mean, they was running down the littlest guy on the floor. And the best shooter, And I mean, come on. So, how many times does he have to get knocked out?
So did the goat dad, did you get your $10 back? You bet it last year and you lost your $10.
Oh, yeah.
Did you get your
$10 back? I got his back and some.
Oh, so that means you owe me half. Anywho.
Nice.
Kevin Durant, do you care about all this big fuss about him joining Golden State and winning the ring?
Yeah, the boy is bad. They could have went and got him just like the Warriors went and got him. But
so
no, LeBron wanted to be LeBron. Oh, crying behind LeBron.
Right. That is, come on,
oh,
Pop.
Oh, cry, baby.
Yes. The biggest, I mean, here's this big old burly man running up and down the field,
yeah,
acting like he's getting charged. Come on, LeBron.
I mean, here it is in the fourth quarter, and he only got one foul. I mean, it's the fourth quarter we're talking about.
Do you
and
think?
He got one. Exactly one foul.
Dad, do you think LeBron will make it back to the finals?
Come on. Come on now.
My dad's not a big LeBron.
You don't even believe that yourself.
I'm just asking, you know, with this whole.
You don't believe that yourself.
I mean, I don't believe in myself. I just want to bask in the fact that Kevin Durant won. The Golden State Warriors won.
Is LeBron James' era over?
I mean, it was about legacy. We can't, hey, Dad, he's not next to the, they can't compare him to the GOAT no more. That kind of talk has to cease a little bit, right? It has
right.
to go away, right?
Oh, yeah. It got to cease. It got to cease because they got not only the number two player in the world, but he done moved up some.
Yeah.
Moved up a couple notches to number one. Number one.
Well, he Dad. This was
you
cool.
See that boy with everybody draped on him. Everybody draped on him. He kick a three out.
Well, Dad, this has been cool. I want to thank you for giving me, opening my world to the world of sports, because guess what you did? You gave me the seed that propelled my life, and I appreciate you.
Yeah,
and
Pops,
thank you for being on Rolling with Ramos. It's over.
Thank you, Pops Ramos. Thank you, sir.
Hey, man, you got it. And if you got any children, man, happy Father's Day to you, too.
I do. I have my 4-year-old son, man. He's
okay.
Rolling with me right now.
All right.
Thank you so much, Pops. We appreciate it.
Yeah, man.
Absolutely.
And thank you for calling and allowing my daughter to call, man. It was a wonderful, wonderful present, man.
That's a blessing. That's a blessing. You're welcome, Pops, any day.
Oh,
any
yeah.
day. Happy Father's Day.
Okay, man.
Mikel, thank you so much. And how can folks follow you on social media?
Oh, man. First of all, check out Rolling with Ramos, the actual show. You can find it on The Working Class, or you can find it by going on iTunes, or you can go to SoundCloud and type that in every Wednesday. We're about to be on episode 10 very soon. Mikel Sade, MYKELLSADE on Instagram and on Facebook, Mikel Ramos, MYKELL. You know the Ramos part, and you just heard the man that gave it to me.
That's what I'm talking about.
Nah, give it to him.
Mikel Ramos, Pops Ramos, check it into this week's edition of Rolling with Ramos. Up next, we talk about Black Music Month, but we had to take it back. We got to take it back to a legend, Baltimore music legend. I'm talking about a brother who's doing it his way, not Frank Sinatra's way, his way. We'll get into it. We're going to be checking in with Abu the Flute Maker. Stay tuned. That's happening in just a few moments here on Listen Up. Here on your source for cool jazz and more, WEAA 88.9 FM at WEAA.org. We'll be right back.
I've been hungry all my life. Yeah. Starved to the bone. Yeah.
So welcome back to Listen Up here on your source for cool jazz and more. WEAA 88.9 FM at WEAA.org, the voice of the community and the next generation. Tonight we are celebrating Black Music Month here. And of course we're doing it with none other. We're doing it with none other than Abu the Flute Maker. And he has been in the business for 40 years. 40 years. Y'all not hearing me right now. But let me tell you how he's doing it. First, I want to welcome him because he's been doing it. He's known me since I was a little boy. But more importantly, I just felt like he had to be highlighted and honored and celebrated because he's been doing it in such a very special way. So peace and blessings, Brother Abu. How are you, sir?
Oh, I'm fine. I'm just
fine. This music thing. This is a love for you.
Oh, yes.
You built your whole life around music.
That's true.
But you have a very special story when it comes to music, right?
Yes.
Share with you, you know, some of the things that you've experienced as you've become an evolving and emerging musician.
First of all, I'm a believer in Almighty God, and I believe that He gave everyone a gift. And some people's gifts, I found out over the years, has not been unwrapped. My particular gift was unwrapped when I was 31 years old. A gentleman visited my home with a Japanese flute. And I never played this type of flute. Never seen a flute like this before. And I tried to get some sound out of it and couldn't. But when he got ready to leave, I said, let me try it again. And when it went off, I was so amazed and surprised to get sound out of it. But not only did I get sound out of it, right away, without practicing, I start playing my favorite things. And I never knew I had the ability to play a song without knowing music, writing music, or practicing on this particular instrument. So on this flute that he had, after I played my favorite things on it, without even practicing, I found out something about myself I didn't know.
What's that?
I didn't know that I had perfect pitch.
Wow.
I didn't know that it just never occurred to me that I could play an instrument by mouth. I was always a percussionist. I was always playing drums since I was a little boy. I saw my first parade coming down the street when I was 3 years old. I was on the front steps with people that adopted me. And I ran in the house. I was so excited seeing this parade. I ran in the house and grabbed the oatmeal box, threw the oatmeal all over the floor, grabbed two pencils, and started playing like I was part of the parade.
Get out of here. Get out of here. Now, so this is the beginning because I didn't drop that jewel about what makes you really such a special musician. Not just the fact that you learned that you had perfect pitch at the age of 31, but you do something that is absolutely amazing. And I'm glad that you brought some pieces in today to really share because, family, if you don't know who Brother Abu the Flute Maker is, I mean, you've probably seen him at events and programs and whatnot. But Brother Abu, you make instruments from household items.
That's right. All types of found objects, I make instruments because after I found out that my ear was so sensitive to sound and realizing the notes, I started hearing music. Noise stopped being noise to me. All types of sound was notes. So I started making instruments out of all types of found objects.
All right, so right now, what you got right in front of us right now? This instrument right here.
Well, this is an instrument. It's one. Most of my instruments are one of a kind because I don't copy other people's work. And I'm like an inventor in a way.
Yes.
I invented a saxophone out of PVC, the plumbing tubing. I call it a plumber phone. I felt like the plumber need a saxophone too.
Can you play a little bit of that plumber phone for us real quick?
Certainly.
Can we let Abu the Flute Maker play a little bit of this plumber phone right here only on Listen Up. This is absolutely amazing. Let me just, here we go. Mm-hmm. Come on now, let's give it up for the plumber phone right there. That's what's up, Pat. Oh, Baba, you really doing it right there. That's beautiful right there. I love the sound of that.
Yes,
yeah, that's like, so soulful.
Yeah, similar to a bass clarinet.
Yeah. It's very so. Do you take your instruments, you put them together. You took the PVC tubing, you really put that together, and now. But you got how many pieces or how many instruments do you have, Baba?
Well, I have over 100 instruments that I've made out of found objects.
100 instruments?
Yeah, even more. But I've been selling instruments. I'm always coming up with ideas. I only brought a few with me today. I have a horn that I made from a cheer leg. One from a table lamp.
Right.
I have a baseball bat that sounds like a saxophone.
Come on now.
I have a...
And I saw the you have this clock that
I
saw.
Oh, yeah, a clock guitar.
Clock guitar.
I should have brought it with me, yes.
No, but you know...
I have a clock guitar. It's
right.
An electric clock guitar.
Yeah.
And the clock still works on it.
So, Baba, check this out. Now, this is Black Music Month. A lot of times we talk about, all of the contemporary artists and whatnot. But by you being an artist, you've been doing this for 40 years. What would you say to those emerging musicians out there listening tonight?
Well, I would tell them to, when I'm working with young people in after-school programs, teaching them how to craft various things out of items around the home. Like I show them how to make little drums out of coffee cans, car tie, inner tube rubber, and I try to get them to think outside the box.
Yeah, right.
Well, anyway, I would... It's one thing I can say to musicians and people who are aspiring to be musicians or singers and what have you. God have given everyone a particular keynote that they sing and talk in, that they hum in, and it's 12 notes in the music scale, and there's 12 signs in the zodiac, and the Creator gave everybody and every sign a particular note that they talk and sing in. If a person is an Aries, their note would be C sharp. All Aries sing and talk in the key of C sharp. Pisces is B natural. Aquarius is A. Capricorn is G. Sagittarius is F. Libra is D. Scorpio is E. I guess I left out a few.
What's a Taurus?
Taurus is E flat. That's like Stevie Wonder.
I'm far from flat, Baba. I'm far from flat. No, yeah.
Very popular musical note. A lot of instruments are made in the key of E flat. And a lot of people sing in the key of E flat. E flat and D sharp is the same note.
Wow.
So what this means is if you had a harmonica in your note, you would master that harmonica very quickly.
Wow.
And all Taurus is E flat. It doesn't matter your race or your age. If it's a little girl and you were to stand beside her and tell her to hum, you would find you both humming in the same note.
Let me just throw it in there how much of a vibing we doing right now, because then the word keynote speaker comes to my mind as soon as you talked about the notes and the signs, keynote. And I was like, wow, that's beautiful. We only got a few minutes left, Baba. But let's folks know how they can get in touch with you and whatnot, and where they can find you and all of those good things.
Okay. You can find out about more of my instruments and hear a lot of them if you go on YouTube, type in Abu the Flute Maker, or you can Google Abu the Flute Maker, and you can reach me by phone at 443-814-7464.
That's what's up there. Abu the Flute Maker, A-B-U, the Flute Maker.
Yeah, I'm open to after-school programs, summer camps, and anything dealing with young people.
That's what I'm talking about. You, of course, you have a very musical and theatric, and your family, of course, the family is all, man, just a wonderful, wonderful family with your daughters, your son, everybody. You have such a beautiful family. Baba Abu, thank you so much for stopping by tonight to just show us a little bit of the plumber phone. You got so many other pieces, but may God continue to use music to shine and to enlighten and to raise the consciousness of so many. And you've been doing it for 40 years, so this is our honor for you as we celebrate Black Music Month here at WEAA. Thank you, Baba.
And thank you, and thanks for having me.
Absolutely. All right. We're going to let me just throw out here real quick, because for those who may want to know, you know, we got a couple of minutes left in tonight's show. And, you know, I want to just let you know, you know, I talked about it at the beginning of the show that there's a upcoming Men in Ramadan panel discussion that's happening tomorrow night at 3306 Garrison Boulevard. You can come on out and be a part of a very, very great discussion as we talk about accepting the responsibility of improving our community. That is going to be a panel discussion that I will be moderating tomorrow night over at Mosque Number 6, 3306 Garrison Boulevard. It starts at 5, it ends at 8. And of course, as we break fast and get prepared to break fast tomorrow night at the 8 o'clock hour, getting ready for the Maghrib prayer and then breaking fast with one another. But again, we want to make sure that your face is in the place at Muhammad Mosque Number 6, 3306 Garrison Boulevard, to be a part of a very, very special panel discussion, because there are a lot of misperceptions about men of Islam. There are a lot of misperceptions about Islam and what Muslims can and should be involved in. But if you don't recognize that Islam and all the religions really encourage us to do the things that and to share our skills and talents that God has blessed us to have, it is a slap in the face, for lack of a better word, for us to not use our skills. Baba Abu, he is a spiritual man. He is a Muslim. He's all of that. I've been growing up in the same light. I'm in the Nation of Islam. But at the end of the day, it is important for us to do something for our community. And I know that we have a lot of our Christian family out there listening. That is your responsibility, too. It doesn't matter which persuasion or affiliation or religion you are. We want to make sure that we are salt of the earth, as the scriptures say. So again, very, very powerful panel discussion, Men in Ramadan. Make sure you join us tomorrow night, 5 o'clock p.m. at 3306 Garrison Boulevard, Muhammad Mosque Number 6. All right, that's going to do it for us. I'm going to ask the barber, can he take us out with something real special tonight? He could pick whatever instrument as we wrap it up. I want to thank all of my wonderful producers, Mika Downing, Mikael Ramos, my sports contributor, Aaliyah Turnage, Danielle Carter. I want to thank Andre for making the sound so good. And as always, family, never be afraid to challenge which wrong, stand for which right, while being yourself in the process. Brother Abu, can you take us out tonight? That's right.